Morning, church. Some of you have a bulletin, right? And I have the picture later on the PowerPoint as well of the cover. In the back, there is a horizon, and there is a man is standing looking to the future. And he has to make a decision. This man here represents all of us in one way or the other. Every single time, every single day, we are making decisions. And there are some people that are making wrong decisions and some are making good decisions. And lately, as my sister Cheryl mentioned during the Sabbath school, we have an increased number of people that are really making very bad decisions. We have a lot of people who have a lot of free time, and they are playing video games. It comes to a point that it becomes so boring, they want to go and act what they just practice on their computer, on their iPad, or they go out and vandalize, destroy all the properties. And in order to get away with it, with the media, and the media is very welcoming to that kind of violence, because they feast. You know, there are two type of birds that flies over the desert. There is one that is looking just for cadavers to feast, and there is one that is looking for a flower. So there is the hummingbird and there is the vulture, and our society has plenty of both. Those that are looking only for dead bodies. And this is our society that we live in, sadly. And sadly, sometimes people commit a crime and all they label themselves as, I'm protesting. And actually, when they're protesting, they get a bag full of goods from the stores. I don't think they are protesting anything. I think they are carrying some things that didn't belong to them. And that's the society that we live in. So we like to talk today about accountability. Throughout the years, this word has changed. Like many words in English, 50 years ago, some words meant something. Today, they mean something else. 100 years ago, some of the words in English meant have a total different meaning. Today, they are changing. Why are words changing? In every society, that happens in every society, every language. Two factors, at least. When people are not highly educated, they don't keep the meaning of the words. They apply what a common people apply the word. Sometimes the common people, because they are not highly educated, they think a word means something and they keep using. And one person heard a person using another person, and suddenly it becomes a popular term in our society. How many of the young people here have used or probably have heard? Say, I'm bad. What it means, I'm bad? Means I'm good. That's how upside down our society is. And kids say with pride, I'm bad. And if they are bad in that case, they are popular. Everybody, that's our society. We keep changing the meaning of words. And today, we call murder abortion. We call other things that are vandalism, we call protesting. It is very sad, but that's what we are going to. So we'll talk about what is accountability. So I have something new for you here. Probably you have a Webster Dictionary says, it is the obligation or willingness to accept responsibility for one's actions. That is what we think about today, what is accountability. But let me show you something else. Accountability. First part of accountability is an account, and also to count. And then you see the last part, the ability to count. That's what actually accountability is. It is your mental ability to have sense of things and count them into action. That's what accountability is all about, supposed to be. The ability to reason. Accountability is a choice. It is an ability that breeds into responsibility. That's what it is, actually, accountability. Please have this in mind. Every single time that you make a decision, it will affect you and it will affect somebody else. That is a natural cause and effect. Always will happen. Every single thing. Even when you choose to do nothing, you're robbing somebody of something that only you can provide. So there is no way you can say, today I'm going to take the day off. Today I'm not going to do anything. And usually when we say something like this, we think only about moi, only about myself. We don't think about who else needs me today. Maybe my neighbor needs a phone call, somebody in the house. Why burn the only thing that you should be more proud about than anything else, which is the gift of life? Personal accountability. Now, I want you to take your phones and take a picture of this, because I want you to look into those texts when you are at home. And if you have a little one like Miguel and the little ones, read with them. Ask them to read. Because we have used this a few times during the children dedication, but I want you to look into this. Deuteronomy 1:39 talks about innocence. Deuteronomy 24:16 talk about the choice. Ezekiel 18:1-32 talk about choice as well. Mark 10:13-16, Jesus talks about innocence. And then in John 9:1-38 tells a story about the disciples bringing this individual that was born blind. Do you know the story, right? But what's shocking about that is that disciples come to Jesus with a heresy. And when Jesus to confirm, to endorse the heresy, this individual was born blind. Whose fault was it? Is he really innocent? Or is he guilty? That's why he was born guilty. And you know, some of you here, how many of you here have been connected with the Roman Catholic Church? And don't worry, I'm not here to throw rocks on them, okay? Not only them, but all the branches of Protestant churches, and even people that are not even Christian, have embraced this evil doctrine that children are born guilty. Meaning, even before they reach the age of accountability, they are already penalized for somebody else's choice. Accountability has to do with choice. There is no accountability unless the individual has the power to choose. Do you all understand that concept? It's very simple. You cannot demand of a child to think like an adult because the child has not reached that age yet. Our own society, our own court system would not charge somebody who is mentally proven to be mentally sick. Why? Because they don't have the ability to count. They don't have the ability to reason. They don't have ability to know the fact. And said, then the Lord said to all of us. This is Moses speaking, not that one, another Moses. A little bit older than him. Okay. Then the Lord said to all of us, your children, who? Your children. This is a vital point on the text. Who are still too young to know right from wrong. It is talking about accountability. You see, all these Israelites, they came from Egypt. They came to close to enter the promised land. But remember what they did? They rebelled against God. Only two remained faithful, but 10 of them says, no, no, we're not going to go because our children is going to be taken as slaves. They're gonna, or, you know, always accountability, many people to avoid accountability, they blame something else. They're always given an excuse. There's something else that has caused them not to make the right decision. So you are still too young to know. And then it says, we'll enter the land that children you said would be seized by your enemies. This is what the Lord says. I will give the land to them. Why? You don't deserve, because you have sinned. My, your children have not sinned, therefore they get the promised land. I'm not going to punish the children because the parents' bad choices. I was hoping that every parent here will say amen, and the kids will say amen to that. Amen. I'm going to talk about you kids. You see, we fly over those texts without realizing how deep a jewel is there. That's why I gave all of those verses. And by the way, there are so many more. Those are just few, just to entertain you this afternoon. So you have something to do this afternoon. All right? I will give the land to them, the children, your children, and they will occupy. They will get to the promised land. And that's a symbol of heaven also. My children will get to heaven because my sins cannot affect the decisions. I am accountable for what I choose. My children will become accountable for what they choose. And if you read all those texts, and I hope you do, you'll find out clearly the Bible says, nothing in all creation is hidden from whom? I have noticed that people that are criminals or intend to become one, or even some that are training to become one. Oh yeah, there's a lot of training. They look when they are about to do something wrong. But they never look up. They never look up. And that's why they stay down, and down they go. Nothing in all creation you can hide from your spouse, you can hide from your children, you can hide from the government, you can hide, don't try, IRS. But they will find you. One way they will. But God, before God, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account, to whom we are accountable. We will answer for every action that we... Some people say, it doesn't matter, my church teaches this way. And they move away from the truth. They don't care, like that it was the end of the talk. They will one day appear before God. So, all of us. If you hide your sins, you know, you may be an expert in how to hide your bad actions, your bad choices. If you hide from them, you will not succeed in anything in life. In the beginning, you would think, oh, I got away with this one. By the way, there are a lot of people in Washington, D.C. that think that they got away with a lot of stuff. They do not know that the judge will, they will see the judge one day. If you confess and reject them, so what do we do before we reject a sin? We must admit the sin is, and the only way I can admit there is a sin, if I have the ability to know between right and wrong, which a child does not. Until they reach the ability to do so, they are not guilty before God. God is a gracious God. God is not in a business to send children into punishment, eternal punishment, because their parents were a messed up group. You will receive mercy if you confess. Mercy is available not for everybody. By the way, there are a lot of people out there preaching cheap grace. Have you heard the expression cheap grace? Oh, you know, doesn't matter what you do, God is so good that He will cover all your sins, no, even if you choose not to. So some people is teaching there that God is going to force people to go to heaven even when they don't want to be. They spend 70 years, 80 years here in this earth telling God, don't you get it? I don't want to be there. The way they eat, the way they act, they are saying every day, I don't want to be there. Leave me alone. And there are people out there saying, no, no, even that one, even that stubborn one, God is going to take to heaven. Thank God. Heaven is not going to be, as Sister Cheryl, I'm going to quote you the second time, she said, those people are not going to be there. No, the trouble makes, they're not going to go to heaven. The heaven is not a place for them. Proverbs 28, verse 13, New Century Version. The three C's of accountability. Again, get your phone. I want you to have this in your, so you can talk in this afternoon with your children or your friends. The first C of accountability is comprehension. You cannot be accountable for something that you do not understand, and you need to be rational in human being to be able to understand. So comprehension is essential. Then once that you comprehend, you must commit to do what is right, or you commit to do what is wrong. Either way, you're going to get reward or consequences. Can you say with me, consequences? Oh, say it aloud. Consequences. But I'd rather have a reward, don't you? I don't want to have a consequence. I want to have a reward. So say, reward. Reward is what we're looking for, not consequences. So let us commit. Commit to do what is right. And then have the courage to stand up for what is right. Cowards will not be in heaven. That will be the fourth C there. Cowards are left out. Only those that have a courage will be in the kingdom. Now, sister, I'll put it back there. Go ahead, try it again. Somebody was about to take a picture and I changed. Okay, now you go. Next one, the acts of accountability. The first act, for stand for A, acceptance. If you do not have the ability to discern, you cannot accept or reject. It has no value. If you accept something that you do not understand, there's no value. If you reject something that you do not understand, it has no value. You need to have understanding to value what you accept or reject. Confession. One of the churches out there says that you have to go and kneel before a priest and tell the priest, I did this, I did this, I did this. He said, okay, go there to the pew and 10 Hail Marys. And if you are very bad, make 50. And once that you've done this, you're good. I was a Catholic for a few years in my life. So I went and I will tell the priest. And the priest asked me to pray the Hail Mary. It is, has been more than 50 years, and I still know how to say those words. That's how many times I said them. Say them, and then after you say them, you are good to go. You're good to do it again. You're free to go and do it again. So I will go there, and Hail Mary this, Hail Mary that, okay? Now I'm clean. What a deceptive way. Enable somebody to go and do it again. Confession, it means turn around, repentance, meaning I'm sad. This has harmed me and has hurt somebody else. And by the way, I'm going to say this to you. My time is getting quick. I'm going to say this to you. There is no confession that it can be accepted by God. Please, if you don't hear anything else, please hear this. Don't deceive yourselves. Confession is not just mention what you have done. That is not just confession. That's a proclamation. A proclamation of your stupidity, of your how dumb you have been, and so on. Confession, it is not confession until there is reparation. Confession without reparation is not confession, it's proclamation. You're just advertising what you have done. You're telling everybody, See here? Not that smart. I'm doing again exactly the same thing. So, confession, remember, you must repay back. If you took $1 from somebody, give that person $4 back and tell that person, it hurt you when I took a dollar from you. It's going to hurt me more because I deserve to be hurt. Here is $4. Yours plus three. That is confession, because you know, next time you're going to say, oh, here's a dollar. Oh, it's going to cost me another three. You leave it alone. That's the lesson about reparation. You do this. Truthfulness. You cannot be accountable to anybody unless you're willing to be truth to yourself and to others. And surrender. There is only accountability is perfect when you have these four elements take place. Then you can say, now I know what accountability is all about. I will accept what I have done wrong. I will confess because I want to change. I will live according to the truth because that's what gives life. And I will surrender to the life himself that gives me life. That is, those are the acts. For the wages of sin is what? According to our society today, the wages of sin is trying to get away with it. It's not death. According to everybody, it says, if you're not charged, by the way, if you committed crimes, they are not so, you can get away with it. Our society is a society that is teaching people there is no accountability. You can go out and do whatever you want. Nobody would hold you responsible. That's why, have you noticed what have a society that does not hold their citizens accountable for anything? It becomes anarchy. Have you seen how our country is becoming an anarchy? This country was a paradise for everybody to come here. You know why? Because it was a law-abiding society. People will come to our United States, they will feel like over here I'll be safe, over here I'll be able to be prosperous. Because nobody's going to steal from me, nobody's going to break into my house. It is a paradise, it's the best place on earth to live. And many came here with that hope. And now there are countries out there that's become more attractive than the United States because of the anarchy, because there's no accountability. Those that we elect for office, you know what happens when you elect to office a criminal? He will not put another criminal in jail. It's just like you put a pastor in front of you here, you choose a pastor in your church. If a pastor has a very shaky life, how can he come in front and preach about something that he is not choosing to live with? And by the way, the time is coming. It's come when more and more people that you supposed to uphold what is the truth is will compromise because they are being accountable to no one. But the gift, there is the if, of God is eternal life. Life is a if. It's all conditional. In Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6:23. Now, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We are liars. That makes us a bigger sinner. And the truth is not in us. Who is the truth? I put in that collar. Do you know what this collar means, right? By now you probably know what this collar means. It's all what is associated to it. I believe this is actually John talking about Jesus. Now, take the word truth there, put Jesus. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And Jesus is not in us. His sacrifice is not for us. Why? Because we don't want repentance. We want to continue in sin. So that Jesus is not in us. 1 John 1, verse 8, verse 9 says this. If we confess our sins, excuse me, he is faithful. Who is he? Jesus is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from some of our sins. All of it. Do you know what I like about this verse so much? This verse, I call it the recipe to holiness. The recipe to sainthood. Do you want to be perfect? All you have to do is confess. And God will take care of everything else. And there you go, you are holy. Just by confess sincerely to God. I acknowledge my sin to you. That's accountability. And my iniquity I have not hidden. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you, Lord, will forgive the iniquity of my sin. That is David. Oh, he knew how to sin. But he knew also how to confess. If you want to see who David was, read Psalm 51. He went the lowest that a human being can go. But he was a man that knew how to embrace God's mercies and embrace so hard that the Lord will say, yes, I like David. Yeah, he's a messed up dude, but I like him because he, every time that he knows he's been bad, he knows how to look for mercy. And he did. Confession, my brothers and sisters, involves seeing yourselves where you really are, who you really are, what is really in your life, when, why, everything, if you confess. I confess my guilty. I am troubled by my sin. Pillow, the pillow that you put your head to sleep, can be very soft. But imagine a guilty conscience as your pillow. It's harder than a rock. You won't be able to sleep well. People that have a very guilty conscience, they don't sleep very well. Psalms 38, verse 18, New Century Version now. There is nothing heavier than a guilty conscience. Nothing in life. Nothing heavier. And nothing so damaging than not to listen to the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Now, when there is a confession, God is praised. Take your phone again because you're going to like this screen. So take your phones, please. When there is a confession, God is praised. Sin is acknowledged, accountability. Faith is declared. And finally, grace is applied. Isn't that wonderful? That is what life is all about. When you confess, God is praised because he says, my child is coming back to me. It's just like God says, I'm recreating a new creature. It's a new one. And in Luke 15 says, there are joy in heaven. All your guardian angels call all the angels, says, let's party because my special one is coming back. It's one of us again. Isn't wonderful? So God is praised. There is a worship in honor of your repentance. And sin is acknowledged. Faith is declared. And grace is applied. Therefore, you become a child again. I will bear my affliction rather than be burned with a guilty conscience. Charles Spurgeon said that, a great preacher. I would bear my affliction rather than be burned with a guilty conscience. I better face the consequences, in simple way saying, I better face the consequences than to live with this, you know, conscience that is bothering me all the time. Here it is, a decision. That is you standing there, or a symbol of you. In the back, there is a very fiery background. A decision needs to be made. And I hope you make a decision today. Here is the news that was on yesterday. I'm not going to try to pronounce her name. She is from Singapore. All right. Jamani. Okay, a 45 years old Singaporean who was put to death yesterday. They hanged her, put a rope in her neck, and they pushed her down. And when the person go, the weight of the person break the neck and the nuke, choke the person to death. The cost of bad decisions. Anybody here has heard about Singapore before?
Yeah.
Do you know what they say about Singapore? It's one of the cleanest country in the world.
Yeah.
Also, one of the safest country in the whole world. The question is, why? Because they enforce their laws. Okay, some of you may say, but that's extreme. Okay, that's not the point in discussion. The discussion is that they make a law. They tell their citizens, if you do this, this is going to happen. Here in the United States, they say this. If you do this, this may happen. Probably not, but it may. But probably not. It's a joke. I'm sorry, but it's a joke. We have a border that is no, doesn't exist. Can you blame somebody from south of the border here or from China? Because they are not the only people from the south of the border that come across. From all over the world, they know, buy a ticket to Mexico and then just walk. And when you come in, you get a free cell phone. You got, because you came the wrong time. You should go now, for example, the hotel. You got a bus ride, a bus tour to all the United States, all the way to New York. All those things are going on right now. Why would people not come? You cannot blame them. Of course. If any of you here tell me, Pastor, will you come to my house? I have a $100 bill to give to you today. I'll be there. If it's not too far, then I say, can you make 200 because the gasoline is too expensive? Now, you know what I'm trying to say to you. When people are motivated to break the law, guess what they're going to do? They're going to break the law. We have laws that is just a joke. From the top to the bottom, everybody thinks that it's all a joke. Until we live what we believe, we also a joke. We sometimes call ourselves Christians, but we don't live according to what we believe. There is a word that I like to remind you of. The accountability. Consequences or reward? You choose your decision.
Amen.
God bless you.